Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow, what a privilege it is to be in God's house tonight. You know, I just have been stirred recently in my own life with the word glory and thinking about the glory of God and, you know, how he really ascends upon us when we worship and when we gather together as a church. There are lots of places that you could be tonight, but you chose to be in the house of God. You chose to be in his presence and under his glory. And as we worship him, I don't know about you, but when we stand in his presence, his glory just ascends upon us. And what a privilege it is to be able to stand in his presence and to receive from him. He wants to speak to us in our worship and through his word as well. And so tonight, we pray and we trust and we earnestly ask the Lord for his glory to fill his house, to fill the heart of every person, that every ear would be open tonight to hear what God would want to say, and that our homes and our workplaces, that the city around us and that our nation would be changed because his glory and his fire is alive within us. Can you say amen to that? Amen, Lord, let it be done according to your word and to your will. Well, our title tonight is On Guard. I was so blessed this morning by Pastor Ron's message about the hedge. What a tremendous inspiration that the Lord gave to him. You know, we do not walk in the world as the world walks, but we walk with a supernatural covering, with a hedge that is built up around us of God's protection, of his presence and of his spirit. And tonight we're going to continue in that theme of looking at how the Lord is the guard over our lives. When we think of the word guard, I think the word that comes to all of our minds probably is the word protection. Being on guard is a picture of guarding someone or something against danger. God is our guard, and he stands in front of us. He stands behind us. He is all around us as a hedge, as a covering, as a guard over our lives. But being on guard, it is also a picture of us guarding our lives against the enemy, against the temptations and the influences of the culture around us. It is a picture of us using our spiritual weapons and making choices to guard our hearts and our minds against the attack. The Bible talks about guards in a few different ways. There is the rear guard. This was a formation of people whose entire job was to make sure that the enemy did not attack the soldiers from behind, was to really watch the blind spots, the weak spots, to make sure that they were protecting the soldiers from behind them. There were those who acted as guards to the entrance of the king's palace. These guards protected the gates. They protected the access points to the king. They acted as a guard. And then there's the imagery of God being our guard, our protector. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 4 tonight, verses 2 to 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there and follow along. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the woman of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. The branch of the Lord in this passage, it is a picture of Jesus Christ. And God is declaring that in the day of Jesus, there will be forgiveness of sins. There will be a washing away, a reformation of the church. And the message in these verses, it applies to us as the church, to us as the believers, as the servants of the Lord. God's heart and his plan is shown here that he is our guard and he is our guide as his glory covers over his church and his people. He is admonishing us to guard ourselves, to be purged of any sin and unrighteousness so that his glory can be our guard and our guide. I love that God promises us his glory. The very fullness of his presence is what each one of us have access to in our lives. It is a beautiful promise, and he promises us that if we guard our minds, if we guard our hearts, if we live holy lives according to his word, he will guard us and he will guide us in the name of Jesus. How are we called to be on guard for his glory to be evident in our lives? Number one tonight is live worthy of his guard. There are natural guards and supernatural guards that we put up in our lives. The natural guards, of course, are the fences. They are the locks on our doors. They are the security systems that we put in place to try and bring about a natural protection. The supernatural guard on our lives is, of course, the Holy Spirit. And he is released to protect our lives when we are purged of any unrighteousness that might be living within our hearts and our lives. He is released to protect our lives when we live worthy of his guard. Ephesians 4, verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you, Paul says, to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Every one of us in this place tonight, if you know and believe in Jesus Christ, you have a calling. You have been called to serve him and to walk before him with his glory upon your life. And he says, live a life worthy of this calling. 1 Timothy 6, 20 to 21. Guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. We have a responsibility to guard our faith, to guard the deposit of the Holy Spirit that has been placed within each one of us. We need a holy guard to protect us from falling away from the truth. Proverbs 22, verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. How many know that we need a holy guard over our mouths? We need a holy guard around our hearts to protect us from the trap of sin and pride that so easily wants to enter us. Isaiah 4, 4 from our passage, it says, the Lord will wash away the filth of the woman of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. These words about a washing and a cleansing of the Lord, they are given to us right before he promises his glory to us. They are related to each other. God is saying that he will reform his church. He will cleanse whatever needs to be cleansed. And the days that we are living in, they are the days of reformation. And this reformation is God's work, make no mistake. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, and he will do this work. According to this verse, the spirit acts as a spirit of judgment first. He comes and he convicts our minds. He convicts our hearts. He gives us wisdom in when and how to repent. It says that he also comes as a spirit of fire. And this fire comes and it burns away the things that don't belong. If you want more of God's glory in your life, there is a cost. There is a mandate upon our lives. And he says, I want my spirit of fire to come and burn those things away that don't belong. The spirit of fire also comes to renew the zeal and the passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God longs for us to be purged by his Holy Spirit and fire so that he can guard us and guide us with his glory. The Amplified Version of Ephesians 4, verse 1. So I, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior, a life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. May we live lives that are worthy of his guard. Number two tonight, be on guard against the heat of the day and the storm and rain. Isaiah 2, 5 to 6. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. The glory of God will cover over us as a cloud of smoke by day to shelter us from the heat of the day. The heat of the day that we experience are the temptations. They are the pressures of the culture and society that we live in. It is the pressure to conform to the ideas and to the standards of the world. The heat of the day that comes, it comes from sin. It comes from self. It comes from Satan. It comes from the Babylonian culture that surrounds us. What does this heat of the day, what do these pressures and this attack look like in our lives? They are opinions of man. They are conversations that are all around us. It is covetousness that wants to enter into our hearts. Comparison, criticisms, entertainments, the lowering of our standards little by little. The attack and the temptations. The heat of the day is often subtle in our lives. They are the voices around us that are self-serving, that are living lives of discontent. Galatians 6, verse 8, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." We need to purge our lives, church. We need to guard our lives so that we can be guarded and protected by the Holy Spirit. The Lord will create over all of Mount Zion, he says, his glory to shelter us from the heat, the pressures of the day that we experience. And once the day ends, once the voices become silent, there is a coolness that seeks to enter our hearts and our minds. It is the temptation to finally give in to the tiredness, to yield to the anxiety, to yield to the fears that have been plaguing us all day long by everything we are watching and hearing and listening to. And this temptation comes from the enemy for you to give in to this, for you to give in to this coolness and to lower your standards, to seek after unrighteousness and ungodliness at the end of the day. Therefore, God sends a glow of flaming fire by night to spark the flame that may need to be ignited within our hearts and our spirits again, to warm our hearts to his Spirit and to his standard of righteousness. That is the only standard that will release the fullness of his glory as a protection over our lives. It says that he sends his cloud and his fire of glory to protect from the heat of the day and the storm and the rain. The storm and the rain, they represent the darkness that can creep into our lives, the clouds that can block the vision, the clouds that can block our vision from seeing what God wants us to see regarding the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in. We need to be on guard against the heat of the day and the storm and the rain. There is a good illustration of this attack that I want us to look at that is found in Luke 22, in verses 31 to 34. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." And then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." Jesus said to Peter and to all of his disciples that were there, there will be heat in your days. There will be trials. There will be temptations that they will suffer at from the hand of Satan. Jesus knew that Satan desired to have his disciples. He knew that he desired to have his disciples turn away from the Lord, turn away from his teachings, to give in to the ungodly temptations, to give in to this. He desired to have influence over those that loved Jesus, that walked with him, that he might sift them, that he might show them to be chaff instead of wheat. There were troubles and there were trials that were about to come upon them. They were going to be sifting trials. They would sift what was within their hearts. Satan desired to sift them by his temptations. And through their trials, he was wanting to draw them into sin, to shake the wheat, to shake all of the goodness and the deposit of the Lord that was within them, and to show them to be as chaff, to show them as being unworthy, to show them as being unusable for God's glory. Jesus knows our hearts, and he told Peter that Satan desired to sift him as wheat. And in fact, he said that a time was coming when Peter would actually give in to Satan and deny even knowing Jesus, deny being a friend of Jesus. And you know, in that moment when Jesus said this to Peter, he was shocked and he was even offended. Lord, how could you ever think that I would ever deny you? Lord, how could you ever think that that was within my heart? And even though he was shocked and even though he was offended, and I think he was even hurt that the Lord would think this of him, Jesus knew what was in his heart. He knew how difficult the temptation would be. He knew the sifting trial that was going to come upon him. He knew the pressure that was going to come. He knows our hearts, and he knows the heat of the day that comes upon us, the opinions, the lowered standards of all those people around us. He knows the weakness that can lie within each one of us if we are not on guard against this. Satan is after all of us to sift all of us, to tempt us in such a way that we would be the chaff, that we would be unusable for the Lord, that we would give in to the pressure and the heat of the culture and other people that come against us in subtle ways, that we would lower our standards of righteousness in God's ways. Further on in verses 36 to 38, Jesus is telling his disciples what supplies to bring on the road that lay ahead of them. The road where robbers and soldiers would come to attack not only Jesus, but would come to question those who were followers of him. In verses 36 to 38, then he said to them, "But now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." Jesus is telling them to be prepared for when the attack is going to come. But he is also referring to the supernatural attack that would come upon their lives. And when they said to him, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And Jesus looked at him. He looks at them and he says, "It is enough." He is affirming them that the physical guard that they have for themselves will be sufficient. But he is also referring to the sword of the Lord here, being guarded against the supernatural heat of the day and the storms and the rains. It is crucial in our lives, and it is commanded upon us. And according to Jesus, having the sword, it is enough to protect against Satan when he comes to sift us and when he comes to tempt us. Our sword in the supernatural, it is God himself. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places." Our sword is not only God himself, but our sword is also spoken of as the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We are commanded to take up this sword, to guard against the heat of the day, the pressures that will come, the storms and the rains that will come to invade and to tempt and to sift our hearts. Jesus says to Peter in verses 31 to 32, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. If faith be kept up in our hour of temptation, though we may fall, we will not be utterly cast down or crushed by the enemy. Faith will quench the fiery darts of Satan as he seeks to aim them at us and aim them at our hearts. And Jesus says, your faith will save you. If the disciples were left to themselves, if we were left to ourselves, for sure we would fail. But we are kept by the power of God and the prayer of Christ. You know, the intercession of Jesus is powerful for our lives. It is an encouragement for us to pray for ourselves and to guard against the pressures of the culture and the attack of the enemy with the sword of the Spirit and the shields of faith. Psalm 39, verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. There are so many ungodly things that are seeking to attack our words, that are seeking to attack our declaration, that are seeking to attack our prayers, our hearts, our lives, the promises of God. There are ungodly things that are trying to attack our attitudes, our homes, His church, our lives every day. And God says that He has a plan to help guard against these things in our lives. And His plan is the cloud and the fire of glory that He wants to cover over our lives to guard us and to guide us. Number three tonight, receive the guard of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 2, 4 to 6, the Lord will wash away the filth of the woman of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. The Holy Spirit is referred to here as a canopy where He acts as a guard over our lives. The Lord will create over all of Mount Zion, He says, over all who assemble there. God is saying that He will protect His church. He will protect every person who comes under the shadow of the Almighty, who comes in here for refuge. When they are purified and reformed by His spirit of judgment and fire, they shall no longer lie exposed to the elements of the heat. We will no longer lie exposed to the enemy. We will no longer lie exposed to the hurricanes and to the storms and to the waves that come across our lives, because when we are purified by a spirit of judgment, when we submit our lives to that, when we are purified by a spirit of fire, the Holy Spirit acts as a canopy over our lives to guard us. God will protect us and guard us. Those that are sanctified are well fortified, for God will be to them as a guard and as a guide. He says their tabernacles shall be defended, their places of rest, their houses, their places where they worship. All of these places will have the guard of His Spirit, which is as a canopy of His glory. Psalm 118, verse 15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Listen, God takes care of the dwelling places of His people. When ungodliness and when iniquity is put far away from our dwelling places, when we do this, the Lord Almighty shall be its defense. In Job 22, verse 23 and 26 to 27, if you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. For then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to Him and He will hear you. The promise of God for us in this word in Isaiah is that everyone in Mount Zion, everyone in His city, everyone in His dwelling place, everyone who gathers in the name of the Lord shall be taken under the special protection of heaven against Satan's attacks upon our lives. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Can you say amen to that? We see a similar instance of God's protection when the Israelites marched through the wilderness. In Exodus 14, the pillar of cloud shows up. His fire was released right in between the Israelites and the Egyptians. It was cloud and darkness to the enemy. But to those who were righteous children of God, it was a bright shining light in the night. It was a way in the darkness. When there seems to be no way, God says, I will make a way in the name of Jesus for your life. The Lord is declaring that he will again create a cloud and smoke by day to protect us from the scorching heat of the sun, and a flaming fire by night to enlighten us and to warm us with his holy fire and zeal. The glory will be as a canopy over our dwelling places to save us, to rescue us, to guard us. If God himself is the glory in the midst of our chaotic, dark world around us, then he himself will be as a wall of fire around about us in the midst of it. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are in the world, and God's glory reigns in the world, and he is as a fire of glory that is all around us in the midst of these times, in the midst of these uncertain days. There is a certainty. Listen, in your fears, in your uncertainty, in your questions, in your own wisdom, in your own plans, God says that he is certain and he is sure and he is the fire and the wall of glory that will protect us in the name of Jesus. And we stand upon this word and we receive his Holy Spirit as a guard over our lives, over his church, everyone who dwells, who gathers in the name of the Lord. He is our guard. He will be not only a shadow from the heat in the daytime, but a cover from the storms and the rains. And in this world, we can expect that there will be a change in the weather around us. But God, by his Spirit and glory, he is our refuge. He is our guard. Amen. And in closing tonight, as we guard ourselves against the heat of the day and the storms and the rains, there is a guard of God's glory, of his Holy Spirit that comes to protect us. And I really want to say this about this imagery of being guarded against the dangers tonight, that we must not interpret the call upon us to guard ourselves to mean the same thing as giving an air of guardedness towards other people in our lives. There is a balance of guarding against the lowering of our standards and still being approachable to unbelievers. You know what I'm saying? This guard of the Holy Spirit that is upon us, it is a guard of his glory. And the unbelievers should be drawn to his glory. The unbelievers should be drawn to the peace and to the joy that we have, to our declaration of it is well with my soul. No matter what I am going through, they should be drawn to this in our lives. Satan wants to sift us, wants to cause our words and our attitudes to be conformed to the patterns of this world, instead of holding to the standard that God yields his glory through us. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Isaiah 58 is a passage that calls us to obedience and to walk in the righteous ways of God. And in verse 8 it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. His cloud and fire of glory, they will protect our days, and they will protect our evenings as well. You know, there is a spirit in our culture that I think you would agree with. There is a spirit in our day that the Lord warns us against. It is a spirit of pride. It is a spirit of covetousness. It is a spirit of lusting after the world's entertainments and treasures. And this spirit, if you look in the Word of God, it is referred to as the spirit of Babylon. The world is enticing in her outward appearance. It is deceiving in its promise of fulfillment. It is dangerous in its pride, and it only leads to separation from God. When we give in to these spirits, they are deceiving spirits. When we give in to other things to fulfill our lives instead of the glory of the Lord, he departs from us a little bit. You know, I really believe that we are the remnant tonight, and that you have come in here on a Sunday night into the house of God because you love him, and because you love his presence, and because there is a hunger and there is a stirring within you for more of the presence of God, for more of his glory to be evidenced in your life. We serve a holy God who has a standard for our lives. And for those who will hear his voice, he calls to us to experience his glory. But he calls to us to protect his glory in our lives. He calls to us to protect the power of his presence in our lives. And when Satan comes to tempt you, to engage you in ungodly conversations, when he comes to engage you in an attitude, in thoughts that go against the standard that God has called you to, the Holy Spirit is right there, and he is whispering to us, do not lower your standard. Do not give up the glory of God in your life. Do not give up the presence of God. Protect that in your heart. Protect that in your life, and go after even more of it. May we never lose our spiritual fervor and serve the Lord. Let us not forsake his glory. Nothing compares to being so close to him that his glory resides over our houses, over our children, our families, and nothing is worth giving that up. No attitude, no conversation, no word, no friendship, no relationship, no entertainment is worth giving up the glory and the protection of the Lord Almighty over our lives and over his church. He says, raise the standard high, and you hold fast to that standard that he has called us to. For his glory will ascend and will come upon us. When his glory resides upon us, his glory is the fullness of his presence. It means that his healing is coming. It means that his breakthrough is coming. When his glory resides over us, when we protect this, it means that his salvation is right around the corner. It means that nothing is impossible for him in his presence. It means that miracles are released. It means that his kingdom is coming and that his will is being done. When we protect this in our lives, his kingdom is advanced when we protect his glory. His church is built up and made strong when we guard his glory. And the fullness of his power is released when we guard his glory. His call to us in Jeremiah 51, verse 12. I want us to listen carefully to this and to receive this. Make this a dedication in your life tonight. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guard strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. We are called to set up the standard upon our lives, to make the guard strong over our lips, over our hearts, over our minds. We are called to set up the watchman and to prepare ambushes with our praise, to prepare ambushes with our worship, to prepare ambushes with the declaration of our voice that says, God is the king of my life, and he will reign in my life. He will reign in his church. Truth shall reign in this generation. The Lord will break through for us. May we be a people, church, who stand on guard for our God, who stand on guard so that his standard, his glory will cover us as a canopy to guard us that his kingdom can be advanced. May we be encouraged tonight that God is looking to place a canopy of his glory over our lives. May we be encouraged and challenged that his guard and glory will come upon us as a canopy when we purge our lives of any ungodliness and guard against the heat of the day and the storms and the rain. Would you stand with me tonight? I want to close with this scripture over our lives. And I wonder if as you stand in the presence of the Lord, whatever you find yourself in tonight, if you would receive this word over your life, if you would receive it into your heart and into your house, receive it into your workplace. Let it be as a declaration. Receive his word for you tonight out of Psalm 91. Let's listen to his promise over us. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent because he loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, we give glory to God. We honor his name tonight in his presence. As we worship tonight, allow his glory to set a new fire in your hearts. Worship him. Let's take a few moments before we leave the dwelling place of God tonight and just give him glory. Let's yield our hearts to him. If you do not know the Lord, we would love to pray with you. If God is calling you back to him, we would love to pray for you. If you have need of anything in your life tonight, the altars are always open. Let's worship the Lord. Let's pray for one another, and let's receive his guard and his glory over our lives tonight.